Hello and welcome to The Dive, Season 7, Episode 15. We have a very special guest for us today. It's Speaka! How you doing, dude?
I'm good. This is like the show that we did, you know, like the introduction.
No, this is, it gives this me the is a same very vibe. Different show.
What if it's actually the same
yeah,
show?
Yeah, what if something, you know, the water starts dripping, yeah. You know, like that's
been
like
episode.
About to bust out of the table. But it's just actually just an extended edition.
Hopefully
like,
not.
I don't know how long you're there for that, but this.
Yeah.
That's only actually like strap in. You got at least an hour.
Yeah.
That was only like 10 minutes. I think that's the last time we talked, too.
I was so shocked. I was like, I had no words.
Though,
I had no
probably
words.
No one wants to speak to you after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Berserker hates me too. I'm pretty sure he's flaming me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, obviously, we can just talk about it right off the rip. Mm-hmm. Not the season that you guys were expecting. I mean, I think everyone expected you guys to be at the top. I think I had you maybe power rank second. Uh-huh. Prince was even razzing me for putting you second instead of first, right? Like, so I know you guys obviously expected to be really successful. The community did. And you've said, and I've heard from other pros, that you guys are still doing really well in scrims. So what the hell, bro? 3-0, 3 weeks?
I mean, honestly, I have no idea. I think coming to this split, you know, we were really focused. Because last split, we had a lot of issues regarding, you know, how we take scrims. We were, you know, not taking it very seriously, right? Like, usually we just had, like, maybe 30% win rate in scrims. And on stage, we just play, like, you know, really well. We just play really well. We play as a team, and you know our scrim results were completely different. I think this split actually went the other way.
Have you considered being bad at scrims again?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, actually, the week where we went 3-0, our scrim results were probably the worst of all the weeks.
So maybe in scrims.
Yeah, maybe that is why. But
consider a little vein jungle action.
Yeah.
For scrims this coming week.
But leading up to like when LCS started, we were winning 90%, maybe like 87% of our scrims, like every game. You know, every day we went four, right? We would win four games, one game. Yep. Maybe we, like, troll a little bit so we'd lose. But the games are just over at, like, 15 minutes.
Do you think there is something to, like, so obviously there's, like, always so much talk about scrims, like, whether it's international, people like, I heard teams are beating Korea, like, maybe we're going to win, then we don't, or whatever. Sometimes you hear teams are trashing scrims really good on stage. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're obviously, like, you guys and not doing well on stage. So do you think there's something to the fact that, like, are you guys expending too much mental energy in scrims? Do you think if you're trying to be serious all the time, is it like burning you out and you're not having the ability to focus on stage? Like, because it's weird. Yeah. Like, clearly, no one's going to deny that you guys have the talent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, individually, you have some really, really talented players, but it's just not translating on stage.
Like, yeah. I mean, I would say traditionally, I'm always a person that plays better on stage. Like, all my past teams, you know, in 2020, when we won World... Oh, no. We did.
We made worlds.
You know, we won LCS. Our scrim results were horrible. Like, we had maybe 10% win rate leading up to that run. Like, we were losing every game.
Trend here.
Yeah. And then we won the split, and then 2021 summer as well, where we got first place. Our scrims were horrible. Like, every week we had like an intervention. Be like, hey guys, you know, I don't know if you guys watched the TSM Legends video. 2021 summer. Yeah. We're outside. There's a fireplace thingy. Yeah. You know, we would talk for 2 hours until the when it turns night, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey guys, you know, what's happening? How can we fix this? And then we still got first place. So yeah, I'm not really sure. Like, this is the first time where I have a winning record or like, you know, we win this much in scrims. But I'm not really sure why our result from, you know, scrims to stage is, like, so drastic.
So when I was with Curse, we had a couple different, at Curse and TL, there were a couple different times where we had, like, a similar problem where scrims, we were great, and then, like, stage, we would flop. Two things that happened that I noticed, and, like, obviously, I don't expect you to share everything going on with your scrims and stuff, but, like, we had one time a really reactive play style, but, like, mechanically good players. And so, like, in scrims, people are...
more
apes, and they're just they're taking every fight, and we just sit back and we crap on them in these like little skirmishes, and then you get on stage and people don't do that, and we didn't know how to like make our own plays very well, and so we really struggled in early games if they were slow on stage, and we dropped a lot of games there. And another time when we had like Piglet and Phoenix, like they would not talk a ton in scrims, and then when we went on stage they'd have a lot more opinions on how to play the game. It like changed the whole
dynamic.
Team, and so like those are two different times where like I've seen different reasons. Part of it's play style. Some of it's like people just have different, again, effort levels at different parts, and they can just throw everything out of whack. Have you guys seen anything along those lines?
I mean, I would say last split, right? When we're, you know, trying to fix the difference between scrim and stage, because our coach, Sharks, he was like, you know, he values when people play the same.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know,
that's how you play.
Yeah. I didn't call a lot in scrims last split, but on stage I would like, just call like everything that is that I see, you know, that I feel is important. And the team was like, oh, you know, you're like a complete different player, you know, like on stage.
You were the piglet. That's it.
Like on stage, you control everything. It feels so easy to play. But in scrims, you're like more laid back. And, you know, so I think this split, at least for myself, I definitely try to adjust where it's like I'm the amount that I communicate is the same, both on, you know, in scrims and on stage.
Yeah.
As to your point, I feel like we play way more aggressive in stage or in scrims compared to on stage.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, obviously people play more ape in scrims, right? But I also feel like we maybe play more scare on stage.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, people, you know, respect the timers more, so we shouldn't play more aggressive.
Oh God, dude, I know that exact trap where you just, you start assuming that the other team is better than they are. And so you don't go for the same like, screw it plays that you would go for in scrims. And then like you never blow their flashes. Yes. So they always have flashes for your next engage. And you just like get into this spiral where you just,
It feels like nothing's ever gonna
And
work.
You lose confidence. Like, oh, they're gonna flash my Sejuani ult, so I'm not gonna throw it here. I'll just wait.
Yeah, like the term we're using, the term we're using is shadow boxing.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're just fighting within yourself, right? You're like,
yeah.
You know, oh, what if he does this? What if he does that? And then I feel like that's happening a bit on stage where we, you know, we play to reserve. And I don't feel like, at least in scrims, we play more aggressive in lane. Mm-hmm. I mean, me as well, I think I play for more aggressive, you know, more aggressive level ones, more aggressive jungling. So I definitely feel the difference.
Yeah. I feel like that's something that people talk a lot about with, like when a jungler is playing really well on stage, they start getting too much respect, you know, because people talk about like when you're playing really well and you win an MVP or when Blabber's MVP, I'll talk to someone and they're like, I'm like, well, why didn't you do this? You picked this aggressive matchup. Well, because he's gonna be there.
Yeah.
Like Blabber's gonna be there, Speaker's gonna be there. Yeah. Someone's gonna like I can't actually play.
Like
the
they should do this,
they're gonna
right?
be there. Yeah.
They should have done that. So like there's no point.
But the jungler's gonna be here, so like why would I try, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it can be easy to kind of get trapped in that cycle.
Yeah.
Especially when things aren't going well, then you're more hesitant because it kind of reinforces like the decisions that you're making on stage aren't working, right?
Yeah.
Have you guys talked at all then if you think you are being too hesitant about just like just go a little bit ape on stage, man. Like, just try to like bust out of your shell somewhat, or have someone who's just like, hey, we're gonna force some plays this game, or we're gonna commit to doing X things by Y time, you know?
Yeah. But I think that's. I mean, we've talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, we would just that we play more reserve on stage, specifically. Like, you know, we ask questions to everyone. Like, you feel like you play different on stage, right? I think the one person was like, I think Vikla. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, I definitely, you know, play less aggressive. At least for the first week when we first brought that up, right? We're like, why are we losing these games? Why is it different? And I think you can't just say, oh, I'm just going to play aggressive, right?
Yeah. It's hard.
The reason why you're not playing aggressive is because you're thinking too much, I feel like. Or you're just thinking, oh, you know, this guy's not making as much mistakes maybe. So I think it's very hard to pinpoint that issue.
Yeah, I also felt like, I think it was today, you guys, I'm trying to pull up the draft, like try to solve it a little bit in draft by picking a lot more early game and go buttons. You had like Renekton, Annie.
Vikla's been playing a lot just on the mid, which is kind of more like early game, hard shove and stuff,
It's always something too where people are like, oh, let's just go back to our comfort, or let's go back to early game playmaking champions.
Yeah.
So we have these easier ways to try and pick fights early and build confidence and then snowball, hopefully,
Yeah, I mean, that's what we would try to do today, but I feel like our issues maybe, you know, deeper than that, because we didn't win today either when we try to, you know.
Wait, wasn't
have
your Viego
aggression.
Doing good today?
Yeah, you were popping off.
Yeah.
You had like 5 kills pretty early.
Yeah, I mean, I messed up level 5 timing when we were training.
Yeah.
But besides that, it just felt hard to play after early game, I think, because we didn't execute super well on the mid 2v2, which I feel like has been like an issue. Specific, like, I feel like communication and like playing with a teammate is like our biggest fault as a team.
Do you think that that's something like one of the struggles that maybe like having imports, you know, because it's like people coming from a different league, different background, different language, different culture.
Yeah.
Like, is that sometimes hard? Obviously, you know, playing with Vikla, Prince, I mean, both coming, you know, from LCK.
Yeah.
You know, you obviously have grown up here, Vulcan's grown up here, like Impact was, you know, former LCK as well. Like,
yeah.
Is there kind of just a different expectation or approach on how you guys think the game should be played?
I mean, first I want to touch on the communication part. It's definitely much harder.
Yeah.
At least for me, I've, you know, in my career, I've played with like mostly experienced main laners. You know, I played with Bjerg, and then it was POE, and then
Bjergsen played for a while.
Idol. He was the only rookie, right?
Yeah.
That played, and then Maple was.
Yeah, I was gonna say Maple after.
Yeah, Maple was very experienced as well.
Bjergsen, Maple, and POE have got to be like.
They're very experienced, right?
They're probably like top 10, top 20, like of any main laner from any region with games played.
Yes. And so. usually, you know, how I used to play before is that these mid laners, they have a very clear...
You're the Pokemon. Go, Spica.
Not necessarily a Pokemon, but like they just make the game much easier to play, where it's like they give information on how their matchup was supposed to play, like, you know, way before, especially PoE, when he was playing control mages, he would just say, oh, this wave, I need help. Oh, I need this, I need that. So from a jungler perspective, it was very easy because you always have a goal. You always have a goal in game, right? And then Beer will always call for plays, what he wants to do on the map and things like that. So that was easy to play. Maple was much more quiet, but he, you know, he played his roles well. And I, especially, you know, I feel like the language barrier is more of an issue outside of the game than in game, I feel, because in game you can use more simple language, right?
But outside of the game, but out game, you have to discuss complex problems and figure out what the hell you're going to do to fix it.
Especially because Vigla is still like kind of like a rookie. I think he only played like
last year.
He only played like once to play off LCK, I believe.
Yeah, he might have had some challenger time, but last split was his rookie year.
Yeah, so he is much less experienced in terms of like, you know, shot calling and things like that. So he is much more quiet and he doesn't, you know, a lot of times call what he needs. So it was, I want to say a difficult adjustment, but that's like, you know, what I'm not really used to. And, you know, that's what we're trying to work on, of, you know, on communication and, you know, playing together as a team, right? Like just as a mid-jungle duo.
Yeah, that's really interesting. The problem-solving part of my brain is always like so engaged with this kind of stuff. We had similar problems, and like what we did for like the communication thing was we had like, I had my analyst team build me pie charts. I would log everything everyone said in scrims, then do the same for the stage games and build pie charts of like what each person was talking about and what changed between the two. And so like I could see visually that, you know, like in scrims, Piglet talked 10% of the time. On stage, 30% of the comms. I was like, okay, that's going to like shrink someone else by definition. So then like Quas is now quieter because he's like willing to like take a backseat sometimes. I'm like, no, we need to know what's going on top lane. So like, yeah, it's like, God, it's such a hard problem to solve, especially kind of on the fly where you're playing three games a week.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that was kind of an issue last split. But I feel like I was playing a lot better last split. So I kind of cover some of the communication errors where it's like, you know, I will call a lot for his lane, right? Mm-hmm. I'll be like, oh, you know, we could gank here. Oh, he has no flash, whatever. So I will coordinate a lot of plays. But I think this split, I did a lot less of that. So it definitely feels like a lot of times we're like more disconnected and there wasn't a lot of like back and forth.
Do you think then that do you think the kind of ramped up schedule is contributing to this being a more difficult split for you?
I would say actually plays a pretty, I want to say a big part, but it definitely affects us because I feel like,
you know,
just
a lot of
our personalities, right? Because we play a split together. So I know like sometimes, you know, when it's high pressure, I think that it affects my teammates a lot and we play weird or different. And now it's only 6 weeks, so... you know, you don't have a lot of time to address your issues. So I feel like that definitely make us panic more.
Even practice schedules. A lot of pros I've been talking to have talked about that and how they just feel like it's really difficult because it's like, you know, you have 3 days a week of LCS. You have like one off day. You don't have as many scrim days. You don't have as many prep days. And it just feels like you're constantly having to like think about what's next. And it's harder to look long term because it's just like you don't have time. You have to immediately get into the next game.
I mean, we had the schedule in 2021 summer, I believe.
We played three
scrim days and then three games. We played like 27 games, I believe. So what we did at TSM at the time leading up to playoffs is we scrim after LCS. I don't think any other team did that or that much. We were scrimming our academy team maybe.
Back then, I have no idea. I know some teams are doing night blocks now.
Yeah, I mean, we do night blocks like, you know, as much as we can, like maybe twice a week, I would say, unless, you know, there's some things coming up. But, you know, we are trying to fill up the gap that, you know, of that missing day. But definitely, you know, because the patches are also changing pretty fast, I want to say. I think week one, we play on one patch, and then week two, instantly change. So you only have, like, you know, 1 week to adjust. So I feel like that definitely makes the game more chaotic and looks more Fiesta,
Yeah. So looking ahead a little bit, there's 2 weeks left, 6 games. You guys are 2 games back out of playoffs because it's top 8. How is the team, like...
Mentally
and just like on an emotional level, does it feel like, I don't know, you get in those rooms and it's like no one wants to say anything and it's just tense, or is it still the team has like some level of confidence just because you do have good scrims and things like skill wise everyone's like this team should be insane. So like, do you still have some level of confidence or is it like tough?
I mean, we definitely have confidence just because of how well our scrims are going, right? But you know, we've been trying to fix the issue for like 3 weeks now. Yesterday, we have like a very long team meeting of, you know, what we need to change, right? Because it almost feels like it's not our skill level that's why we're losing. because we keep winning scrims, so that means we can't win games.
Yeah.
But on stage, it just seems like a completely different team. So it must be, you know, maybe
mental block,
communication, T-body, you know, the whole list.
Yeah.
Likewise, just needs to improve warding, jungling, dragon takes, Baron setup.
Yeah. So it almost feels like we don't know what to fix because it's not gameplay, and usually gameplay is like much easier to fix because you can be like, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that.
And when it's not consistent, it's not like, oh, we just like. For example, Team Liquid just we're awful at team fighting for some reason, but our early game is unlocked. Like we do not need to practice.
That's consistent,
early.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're consistently losing, I guess. Yeah.
But the reason.
I'm not really sure. I mean, there's only 6 games left. I think playoffs is usually like 5-6 wins for top 8.
Yeah, something like
so
that.
So we definitely got to focus a lot more and.
Yeah, I mean, the glass half full is definitely that. As long as you make it to playoffs, it doesn't really matter what seed you're in, as long as you're in good form.
Yeah.
Right? Because anyone, you can go to Worlds from 8th seed.
I don't know if that's ever happened.
I don't know that ever happened.
I don't think that's, I mean, last split,
you guys were 7th and you won.
And we were,
you won the first round, you beat FlyQuest, right? And then you almost beat GG.
EG,
excuse me.
That was 5th game, and that was a long pause. I mean, we kind of got robbed by the pause, but,
Oh, I remember the Twitter drama after that.
Yeah, that was crazy. But, I mean, I definitely feel the pressure, it's like, it's only 6 games. But, just got to play every game.
Yeah.
Like, be a one and don't think about the implications, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the way to go about it. We won't belabor this this too much, but I appreciate you, being honest.
FlyQuest conversation done.
Done.
Yeah. Okay. We talked about
just
the whole,
like the team.
All right, I'm out of here.
Oh, my God. No, now you get to speak about the rest of the league.
Yeah, you can talk as much trash as you want.
We're going to take your record and throw it out. We don't care. Yeah. So you don't have to be like, oh, well, he beat me last week.
This is MVP Spica here.
All right, so I'm just going to pretend.
Sleep Spica.
Because I tried to do the podcast last split when we were first place.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to pretend like it's last split.
We screwed you. Really, it's our fault.
Yeah. I'm just gonna pretend like I'm first place right now.
Yeah, exactly. Speak with that level.
All right.
Don't worry.
You're first place in the standings of people who are on this podcast right now.
Nice.
That's also true.
Yeah. We're not even in the LCS.
Yeah, I'm actually first
place. You're the best league player on this desk.
By a lot.
Yeah.
I'm confident. It's
not
that.
A high bar, but.
You haven't seen me play A-Rams, man. You don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to see
that. Yeah, no one's good.
So before we dig into some of the other teams, there's just a couple little things that were going on in the community. Sven and Berserker both did separate interviews, kind of just talking about approach to the game.
Yeah, the solo queue stuff.
Yeah, solo queue stuff. Berserker was talking about it from a lot of, like, Koreans, both imports, and people even just, like, play on the server during, like, Worlds time, how much people... He didn't say this exactly, but kind of bitch and moan about it. And then he's like, it's kind of an excuse. And then
Berserker's exact quote is, Korean players in NA say, I can't practice because the level of solo queue is low. But it's an excuse, really. Look, I don't care if they play solo queue and then say these things, but let's be honest, they don't.
Wait, okay, but who says that, though? Because he's, like, quoting someone, right?
Well, I don't know if he's quoting direct. I will say so many pros complain about NA solo queue when they come here.
I mean,
I've heard that from basically every single import ever.
Yeah, I mean, I complain, but I still play.
Yeah. I don't know who he's referencing. But you've probably heard this from literally every import ever.
I've heard that. I've heard that a lot. You know, a lot of times when you talk to imports, solo queue is so shit. You know, I don't even want to play. It just feels like it makes me worse. And definitely hear that a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, Berserker, I think a lot of people are giving credence to this because they feel that Berserker came here and his level has not dropped at all, right? Like, he's improving, a lot of people feel like. So it's one of those things, I think, because, he's doing well, people are more willing to listen.
Yeah, and separately, Sven, one was talking about how for him and a lot of the C9 guys, they're perma grinders, and that's why he feels like they're really good. And he was saying he wasn't knocking people who treat it more like a 9-to-5, just making good money playing League of Legends.
Yeah.
He was saying, like, good for you, but he can't understand that mentality. So I just think it was really interesting to hear the C9 guys talking about this because it's a hot topic within the community always.
I mean, it's been
NA praise.
I don't know how
so
many years.
Lazy, huh?
I mean, it's always like, NA pros are so lazy. They live in Los Angeles, so they go party and I don't know, just go to the
beach. Did you see the Palafox thing?
What did he say?
He didn't say it, but like.
Okay.
I don't think we should.
I don't know if he can say it here, but.
You can say it. It's hilarious.
I mean, there's no way we can know.
He didn't confirm or deny. He just laughed at it. But it was the insinuation being like, the Los Angeles lifestyle doesn't apply to most gamers. Like, and then someone said, it's not like Palafox is going out and sleeping with porn stars every night. You know? So, like, probably not Like, I don't know, you're not just club scene.
I mean, a lot of the party stuff is so funny to me because, like, I know that, like...
I don't go to parties.
Well, and I just mean I know, like, most of the pros' lifestyle is literally, if they're taking time off, they're just playing another video game.
Yes, exactly.
And, like, you know what
exactly.
I mean? It's like, it's not like they're out drinking every night and stuff. It's like, for the most part, I would say the vast majority of people are just grinding League.
Yeah.
And, like, that's about it. And, you know, when people do take breaks, at least that I know of, they're usually playing other games. And sometimes, like, they're playing WoW or PoE. Yeah,
jetting anime.
Right? Like, which is also, like, pretty normal. But I do think some of that stuff is pretty funny and pretty out of control. Like, there's definitely that impression that there's, like, some big party scene for LCS.
Yeah.
But it's not really true at all.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it kind of hurts me a little bit every time I hear that. Ever since, like, you know, 2020, when I first started becoming, or when I was the first LCS player. Because I, you know, when I started off, I was grinding a lot.
Yeah.
I want to say I was playing, you know, when I first became an LCS player, I was just playing every day.
Yeah.
You know, so we scrim. I mean, at least right now, our schedule is, you know, I will wake up at like 10, go to the office at 11, and then we have meetings, you know, you eat food. And our scrims will start at 12, and then usually it ends around 6. The normal hour is 12 to 5 for scrims, but, you know, the last game always goes long, and then right now we have night blocks, right? So I'm finishing practice at, like, 8, so I will go home, you know, maybe eat, and then usually I just play until 12.
Yeah.
So my day is probably, like, 13 hours. And sometimes I'll play until 1 a.m. But when I was a rookie, I was playing, like, maybe 10 games a day, like, every week.
Yeah.
So at least from my perspective, it just felt kind of unfair because, you know, I'm playing
every day,
right? I'm playing, like, so many games, and I'm just being, like, generalized. But, you know, I can say that it's not out of nowhere, you know, because I definitely see some pros, because we have a solo queue tracker.
Yeah.
On every team, we have a solo queue tracker of, you know, people's accounts and stuff like that. And I would say some pros are definitely lazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the reality is, it's like Zen was saying, some of the people are just taking it like, hey, I make pretty good money.
Yeah.
I don't actually have to work that hard. Maybe, like, I don't have, you know, like, most people, like myself included, most people who became pro gamers never went to university, so they're not really sure, like, what else would I do, you know? So they're just kind of, like, cruising, right? Which, that sucks, but it definitely shouldn't be something that I think is generalizing everyone, because I know, like you said, most people are grinding, and you're obviously grinding really hard. I mean, I think at the end of the day, to me, it's always just been about, like, be honest with what your goals are, right? Like, if your goal is just to, like, maintain an LCS spot, maybe that you could cruise a little bit more. But when people's goal is truly to, like, you know, go do well internationally or to win LCS or whatever, it's like, I always have thought it's really cocky to think you can do that without practicing as much or more than the people who are doing the most, right?
Yeah,
like, why should you be better than Blabber if Blabber's playing 10 games a day and you're not? You know, why should you be better than like Canyon if Canyon's going to play 16 hours a day and you're going to play 4, right? Like, it's just to me, like, has always been, that has always seemed egotistical for people to think. So it's like, it only ever has bothered me if someone is saying, like, my goal is to be the best player in the world, and then they go home and they're just piss chilling, right?
Like, your action is different from what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely think there's also, there has been times also where teams and orgs have done the communication poorly themselves about like being like, we're committed to winning worlds every time. And it's like, I would be happy if you guys got out of groups. Like, you can say that our goal is to make worlds and have a good showing, you know, like, you don't have to promise the moon every single time. And then the, like, a lot of things about just like, oh, we're going to work smarter. There's been a lot of those kinds of promises that I think have fans sometimes frustrated. But this is not the split for it, because NA mids, baby.
Yeah, they're smurfing.
NA players in general.
They're smurfing.
Insanity came back 3-0 week.
Has he won every game?
He's 6-3, but this week
he went 6-3.
Yeah, he went 3-0 this week.
He went 3-0 this week.
Yeah. TSM has a 6-3 record with Insanity.
That is pretty crazy, actually.
I think what they did, though, is they benched him for Ruby when they were playing tough teams.
Oh,
to protect him.
To
build the myth. The myth of Insanity, how good he is. But
APA is playing well, too.
APA,
2-0 so far. I mean, they are playing weaker teams, I believe. But
We don't get into that.
Okay, we don't get into that. He is 2-0.
He's 2-0?
Don't let the stats, facts get in the way.
Don't think too hard about it.
So NA mids are undefeated this week.
JoJo lost a game.
JoJo lost, didn't he?
But who did he lose to?
I can't remember.
Was it an NA mid?
NA mid probably had
it. It has to be. How else would it happen? Yeah.
He lost to Palafox.
Oh, wait, you're actually right. Another NA mid. You're right. Undefeated. Who else? Was anyone else popping off this week for NA mids? No, I'm not thinking of anyone.
Yeah, I think just those two.
I mean, NA mids in general have been doing pretty well, though. I mean, JoJo, I think everyone is looking at JoJo as the best mid laner in the league. I know there's some people who say MNS, but largely, pretty much everyone I'm talking to says JoJo.
Yeah.
I think he's been playing the best by far on stage. Like, this seems to be, by far his best split ever.
Yeah.
Last play, he was not doing so hot.
he got all four of his teammates fired, I guess.
He didn't like him, so he's like, I'm going to run it down, get new teammates.
Sprinted it down, and now he starts trying again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's flaming Vulcan as soon as he's off the team. You know, what's happening with that?
I forgot.
Yeah, what changed between spring and summer with FlyQuest? I can't remember. They were so good in spring, and then someone showed up.
Yeah.
It was the port trade, you know.
Yeah, how's he doing over there?
I mean, honestly, I feel kind of bad for Vulcan.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's not even, you know, our problem, because I feel like a lot of games, he's not smurfing, right? But he's doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's fulfilling his contractual obligations.
Yeah. But, you know, we just... Yeah, sometimes the brain just switch and, you know, the monkey mode comes on and we just completely run it down. And, you know, it definitely feels bad for the new guy to come in and then we just instantly...
Yeah, if only he could, like, you know, have some empathy for, like, someone else that it might have happened to last split. I don't know. One of your other teammates that you might have had.
I don't recall anything.
Yeah, my bad.
But, I mean, out of all the mid laners, so, like, mid laners that people are obviously really excited about right now from NA, like, JoJo's doing well, APA's doing well.
Yeah.
Insanity's doing really well with the team. Palafox, I think, has been a bit more up and down. But, like, some of the imports that have come in have obviously not been doing as well. Mm-hmm. Gory is having a bit of a worse split. Vikla has not been, I think, meeting expectations that people had for him. Ruby, obviously, was not someone that people were really hyped about. But there's, like, this is one of the first times where it feels like there's more regional players that people are excited about. And I feel like this has been a bit of a trend over the last year or two where we've had some guys come up from Academy and actually perform well. Mm-hmm. And it's giving more ammo to the crowd of like, what the hell?
Talent,
there's like, there is this NA talent. Mm-hmm. You guys just never tried them. Like, where do you kind of sit on this? Because obviously you do play a lot of solo queue. You've been around the scene for quite a while. So I'm sure you've played against and with some of the NACL folks. Do you think that teams were doing a poor job, like overlooking a lot of these players and that they shouldn't have been importing as much? Or do you think it's kind of just like overblown and this is just like, this is just random. It's just having this one.
I mean, I think it's definitely, there's a middle ground, right? Because I feel like teams before were definitely way too focused on imports. There are definitely a lot of like great players before where they didn't get a chance just because they're NA.
Yeah.
And I feel like, but I also felt like there was a lot of NA Academy players where they kind of overstayed their welcome.
Yeah.
I feel like orgs just, they're just not very good at picking which talent to keep and which talent to pick up, right?
So they just go with known quantity.
Yes. I feel like a lot of times, at least in my opinion for Academy players, there's a lot of Academy players, at least, you know, in my opinion, that I just don't think they'll be good, but they just kept playing, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like the orgs and, you know, the general consensus opinion or the general community consensus is probably, you know, the same for the players. But, you know, they just kept being on Academy, even though, you know, they're probably not going to get moved up.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel like both sides could do better.
Do you think it's like a scouting problem then? Like, or do you think it's actually like a talent problem? Because obviously, I mean, to me, the biggest issue, and this is something that can't really be tackled, is just that NA just has way less players than the other regions. That's just
reality. I mean, that's just facts.
Yeah, that's just facts. But like, given the circumstances that we have, is it like we suck at scouting the players that are actually good and should be actually in Academy? Mm-hmm. Or is it that there just isn't people to scout?
I feel like it's more of a developmental problem.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've only played in Academy for one split.
Yeah.
I had Peter Zhang as my coach at the time. And I felt like a lot of supporting staff in Academy at least just don't really have a good understanding of what they were trying to do. Because I feel like there's definitely a lot of talented players, but they just need good guidance, right?
Yeah.
I feel like if I didn't get, you know, good guidance from, you know, Bjerg when I was playing LCS for a bit from Peter, he was a good coach even. He did some bad things, but you know, he was a really, really good coach.
There can be multiple parts too.
He was a really great coach, honestly. He taught me a lot about the game. I feel like, you know, if he wasn't there, I'm just, you know, doing myself. Or if I had a coach that didn't know what he was doing, I would just be a much worse player.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, there is an talent, even though it's much less than other regions, right? But we're not doing like a great job at developing them and giving them a chance as well.
It's such a, well, now Academy's just not there.
Yeah, it's
so, but a bit late for some of this combo.
I mean, NACL is still there.
The structure is really different.
Yeah.
It felt like a really complex problem where, like, one, there was just a general favoritism or bias from teams to just, like, overlook native talent.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are times where players themselves have been like, I don't want to play with that guy. I play against him in solo queue. He's butt.
He sucks.
Yeah. Sometimes there's Academy players who are like, I don't want to play on that org. That org's butt. And so then they don't move into teams that maybe they could have had opportunities.
There was contract jails with buyouts.
That was a big issue, actually.
Yeah.
There were some players, you know, they had LCS offers, but the buyouts was just five times their salary.
Yeah, I remember like 3 years ago even hearing about some like $1 million buyouts for Academy players.
Yes, I heard about that.
I'm like, that is...
Yeah.
Ain't no way someone's paying
Let's just say some of those ones would not have been worth the investment based off what we've seen so far.
True.
But yeah, it just was like there were a lot of problems beyond just like the inherent bias that I think is what people blame teams for. But like teams had a hand in it, players, academy players themselves. I know that there were some academy players who felt like other academy players, because the pay was so good back then, would just be like, I'll just chill here. Yeah, there's like no pressure.
I heard a lot about that actually.
Yeah.
I mean, from my perspective, I just feel like if you are in academy, right, and your goal is not LCS, there's just no point.
Yeah.
So that mentality, I just feel like it's just very cringe.
Yeah. There is a lot of problems with that system. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think, I mean, this is, I don't want to tangent too far into, like, I don't like what happened this offseason. Yeah. I was not happy about that. But also, the past was not succeeding in a lot of ways. So, like, I don't know. It's nice to see, though, that NA players are doing so well this split. The TLA guys on EG now and, like, being like, no, there's legitimate talent if you put them in the right systems. Because there's also a lot of times I feel like NA players are just like fed to the wolves, like only the bottom tier teams are going to sign them, and then they don't have the support that, like, I think there's plenty of case studies where like you or Licorice or players who get put into the system and like actually get played around a little bit and propped up, and then you're like, oh look, they're actually good.
It's also interesting, and I don't know how you feel about this, but like right player, wrong circumstance kind of kind of stories,
I mean,
right?
I think that
like,
happens a lot.
Right, Revenge is an example that a lot of people talk about, because whenever I would talk to top lane pros in the LCS, they're like, yeah, Revenge is like maybe top five. Like he's pretty good, right? And some people even had him higher. And then you like anyone in the community thought Revenge was like absolute trash tier, right? Like shouldn't even be in the LCS, paycheck stealer.
Yeah.
And so it's like, but then he's on a good team and now he's having that success. I think great examples also were like Licorice and Stixxay.
Palafox
as well. But like Licorice and Stixxay we had on the dive last split, and we were talking to them about how, like, did they actually think they improved, or is it just circumstances around them improved? And both of them felt like largely they didn't feel like they really got that much better. They just were surrounded by like better circumstances,
players,
right? Like they're with better players. And we all know like it can be really hard to look good when everything's going bad, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, I know I've heard a lot of talk, like, in opinions from players too, that they feel like sometimes they're being overlooked literally because of community sentiment, because it's just like there becomes this like negative stigma attached to you if you're on too many bad teams.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like even now it's just like just the culture, I feel like, at least I feel for the league culture specifically, I feel like a lot of times, right, people criticize players almost too much.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a player, so it sounds like I'm biased, but I feel like there's a lot of negativity. It's like you have to play super, super well, or else you're just bad. And I feel like also when you're playing on a bad team, right, it is very hard to look good, I feel. Because there's so many issues. You can't pinpoint to one player, right?
Yeah.
That's why, you know, a lot of times now, you know, when I look at players on a bad team, I have a lot of respect for people who perform really well on bad teams, because you know,
it's really hard.
It's really, really hard.
Yep.
Like the mental aspect, the gameplay aspect, like Yango's last play on Heretics, he was completely smurfing.
Yeah.
He's just like 10th place, he's completely smurfing every game.
Yeah.
And you know, I just gained so much respect for him as a player. Like he's actually just so good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's super true, right? Like it's very, very tough. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, I have a lot of opinions on the reason that League is more negative than it used to be. I think to me though, it can be distilled down to the fact that it is easier to find things to criticize than it is to praise. Mm-hmm. And providing criticism is like a way to seem like intelligent about the game, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, speak as fucking shit. Like, he should have obviously built this, right?
You
know what I mean? It's easier to say that than it is for me to, like, in a game that you lost, go and think, oh, this was actually really intelligent. Like, the way that he passed here would have covered this play that most people would go for, or, like, whatever, right? To, like, dig into it a bit more is more difficult. And it's also harder to explain, and people have no attention span for anything.
Yeah.
So it's way easier for me to just fire off a tweet roasting you and get some interaction than it is for me to, like, make a video about, like, why something you did in game is intelligent. You know what I mean?
I mean, and even just with League being so interconnected, it's like, well, my bot lane's getting trashed. I need to go bot here, but my win con's top. But, like, do I just sack my bot lane? They ant and, like,
I started bleeding. Oh, I go bot. Oh, I died as well. Not click.
And you don't know that in the comms, it's like, help! Yeah. You're like, okay, I guess I have to go bot because they're going to, like, actually have a mental breakdown if I don't. And, like, you don't get the comms of, like, what's going on there. So, like, it does, it's a very, like, not clear game for a fan to watch, as well as I've always said that it's a zero-sum game. Like, in order to do something good, you have to have made the enemy do something bad, in a sense. Whereas, like, in basketball, like, you just hit a fadeaway, it's sick. Like, everyone's like, what a shot. But you're not necessarily, like, that defender inted because he was two steps behind the play, and he could have been, like, people don't talk about basketball like that. You're just, like, sick shot, bro.
Yeah.
And, like, people don't do that with a solo kill. They're just like, what an idiot. Like, he's clearly too low HP to be standing that far up on the wave. And then they just talk about it differently. And so, like, I just think League is a rough game to not look bad when you're losing.
Yeah.
It's like everyone just looks bad in a loss.
Also, I mean, the difference between, to me, between your basketball example and league is that it's like, if I hit a fadeaway on you, then I grow 1 foot taller. Right?
Yeah.
And then,
exactly.
And then like,
your next fadeaway is 5% more likely.
And I dunk, and then the net like fucking gets two times as wide.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like that's League of Legends.
Snowballing it.
Yeah. Like, because it's like in a lot of other games, in non, like you reset, right? And you're still the same player.
Yeah. It's,
but now in League, I kill you, like maybe because of a mistake you made or a mistake your teammate made. Now I'm stronger and you probably can't beat me again, or it's like gonna be much more difficult to do so. So like in those kind of snowballing games, it's really easy to look bad because there's not a lot of good decisions, especially if you're playing like Vi is the funniest champion to me. When your team is losing and you're playing like Vi or whatever. Or you're like a Nautilus or something.
Yeah.
Like you're going the fastest.
You just gotta go in.
Yeah. Like, well, what else are you gonna do?
I've
right?
had that before. I think last playoffs I went 0-10 on Vi. I just kept sending it. You know.
You're like, well, I can be a KDA player.
Yeah.
It's but like there's I could no be other way
0-1, or I could just go 10 deaths and look kind of cool.
You know? Style points.
Yeah.
It takes a man to go 0-10 in a pro game. All right.
Yeah.
That's a choice.
Well, it's like at one point you just don't care.
Yeah.
It's like after the fifth death, it's like I'm already 0-5. You know.
I'm not worth any gold. Yeah. It's like 10 gold. Here you go. Have it. I don't need it. Take it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Should we move into a tier list?
All right. Let's do it. Speaker said, I want to flame some idiot junglers.
Yeah. I did not say that.
That was exactly what he said.
He said
verbatim.
That. We said we were going to build a tier list
minus
with you.
All of those words.
Okay. Excluding myself, surely, because we're in spring split where we're still
right. This is when you're
9-0.
The best team in the league. You obviously are able to sit from your ivory tower and judge the rest of the league.
Yeah.
So do you want to just... You,
off the top of my head?
Yeah, if you want to go off the top of your head.
Do you want the list of players? Do you want to?
No, I think I can remember most of them.
Here's the list of teams, too.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, we have Armeo, Blabber, Boogie, Closer, Contracts,
that's fine.
Skendi,
this is good, you know.
Yoshik, River, Santorin, and you, Spica.
Is this in alphabetical order? Why am I at the bottom?
Yeah, that's alphabetical. It actually is. Armeo's at the top.
All right, do you want to?
Oh, it actually is. Okay.
I'm not trolling.
Okay, do you want to do this like a 1 to 10? Do you want to do it like a tier, like A, B, C, D?
I mean, up to you guys.
You choose.
Right? This is the speaker power hour. You do what you want.
Okay, let's do the, I like the S, you know, S, okay. A, yeah. B, C.
All right, so who's in your S tier? We can start there.
Let me see.
All right, I'm going to pull up Notepad.
Yeah, pull up the Notepad here. I mean, I'll say Blabber is definitely S tier. I just want to think if anyone's up there.
You can put in some hot takes here too. Like, Armeo's not actually good. He's just jungling for JoJo. You can say that.
Let's start from the top first.
Okay.
Let's start from the top.
Oh, well, there you go. Armeo, not at the top.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm thinking about if I should put River in there. Because I feel like he's been playing really, really well.
I mean, Golden Guardians are having a really good split.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're a really, really good team.
Yeah.
Like, the way they work together, I feel like in terms of teamwork, they're the best team in NA.
It's so interesting because I feel like after spring split, a lot of people thought they were going to kind of turn back into a pumpkin, right? Where it's like, oh, like you were bad in spring, you like just did well in playoffs. It's kind of random, but like they're actually just good. Licorice is like just really good again. The whole team
honestly, Licorice in spring split, he was inting.
He was
in the beginning. He was completely inting. Yeah. He lost
even
his
when they
team
were winning.
Games.
He was sprinting.
Yeah, but this split, he's been playing super well. Even towards the end of the last
and at MSI,
he was playing really, really well. So maybe I need to ask him why. You know, what made that switch?
Hey, what do you guys
I can follow that.
Yeah.
But honestly, I will put River there.
Okay, so we got River
and S.
Yeah. And then I think that's it for S.
Okay.
Okay.
And then for A tier, I think
Pioshik.
You can
also skip tiers. Okay. Pioshik.
I think Pioshik. I feel like he's super underrated.
I think he had like a terrible spring and people haven't like updated.
Split, I feel like he was underrated.
Do you think that even for stage games or for scrims? How much did you pay attention to the stage?
Okay, maybe I'm a bit biased because I scrim him.
Yeah.
Right?
But I have heard a lot of pros say that. But I feel like in spring, he was ass on stage. He didn't do anything.
He did have a lot of good early games still.
Yeah, I think his early game is really good. I mean, I also want to sympathize because I feel like Yon and Carry wasn't playing super well. So he would get these, you know, a lot of early game leads and then, you know, some bad things would happen. And now they're getting outscaled and then he feels the pressure, right? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, I got to turn this back. And then he looks like a complete clown.
Yeah.
So I feel like he was nothing overhated just because of, you know, what happened in Worlds.
Yeah.
But I feel like even last split, he should be rated like a bit higher than what, you know, the public perception was.
Okay.
But I think this split, he's been playing a lot better just in general.
Yeah. So you have him top three. He's top three.
So I think he's top three.
So he gets your vote for third team All-Pro.
Third team All-Pro?
Yeah, that's what it would be.
Top three.
Great, so yeah, that would be, yeah, I think that would be top three, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone else in the A tier?
I gotta ask, thoughts on Armeo, not A tier?
No, I don't think he's A tier.
Yeah, a lot of people are excited about Armeo. Do you think that, that's an interesting one? We can ask you, where do you think Armeo goes? Because it's interesting, like for a long time, obviously, he was like kind of top-ish of Academy, right? Yeah. Like top, or either he was the best or near the best for Academy.
Didn't he beat
But when
you?
He got into the LCS.
Everybody beats me.
No, but I
mean, everybody beats me.
I meant, hold on.
Come on, Mark, leave alone.
I meant in spring 2020 to make finals. When
okay,
Santoro
that meta was
benched.
Cringe.
Yeah, he beat you.
That meta was cringe.
It was what, Sejuani Trundle?
Hecarim Udyr.
Oh, there's that one.
You do six cams, you run around. That's all you do. You just full clear, full clear, full clear.
Yeah.
Why do that. You can sub in and do that.
All right. But why do you think, because I think...
When he came to LCS before, he wasn't actually that good, right? But this...
Well, I
want to
say, I don't... For me, it's hard to rank him because I feel like... A lot of games I watch, JoJo is also playing super well, right?
I mean, JoJo is like potentially like MVP,
yeah.
Right? Like
I feel like JoJo was playing super well, so it's kind of hard.
So it's a superstar effect. He's just like has a hot friend. He's standing.
It's
there.
Like LeBron James, you know, like he's like, you know, it's like he's smurfing, right? Yeah. So it's kind of hard to tell if his teammates are good. So I don't want to say he's bad. Right, because I cannot know. Like maybe he's calling the play. Maybe he's like, you know.
But you think he's having a really easy time because he has.
Yeah,
he has
but
the
I feel like
league.
You know, a lot of the opportunities were presented by JoJo because JoJo has such a big lead. So then you know, it's like, oh, this is easy to play. You see it, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to go for. It's very obvious advantage that you can go for. So I mean, for now, I think Pjotr's probably the only way A tier.
Okay.
And I'll put Armel in B. I think. Santorin has been playing better.
Santorin has definitely had some better games. He's had some pretty bad ones
better.
This split too, though, yeah. and his spring was really rough.
Yeah, he's inconsistent.
Which is so weird to say because I feel like his reputation for his whole career has been the opposite of that he's like always going to be like smart, early pathing, you know, really consistent solid guy.
Even in spring, I felt like I saw him making a lot of like the classic, like level 3, he gets a kill for his bot lane, but
his early games
were
actually really good in spring.
Yeah, but then I actually thought his early games were bad a couple games, but then I think he's been a lot better.
Yeah, I mean,
his
Poppy
games were good. His Ivern game was good.
Yeah.
Against us, yeah. I mean.
Against who?
It's not that good.
Who?
His Ivern game wasn't that good.
No, I don't think
his
so.
His Ivern game wasn't that good. I mean, I feel like.
It was the pause.
All the other junglers are so inconsistent, so I feel like it's hard for me to rank them.
So Santorin, it's just
contracts,
right? One in A, one in B, are we going to C already?
It's like contracts is inconsistent. I feel like Santorin has been more consistent, but before, you know, in the beginning split, he was more
So are these guys in C?
Well, I do agree that it does feel like there's a pretty obvious top four, and then it drops after that into just like this, like, sometimes contracts, 1v9s, like, I think
you can go with your gut here.
Okay, I want to say if you're talking about the highs, contracts should be in B. Because sometimes, actually this week he was completely running it down on Poppy. Put Boogie. I think I'll put Boogie. I feel like Boogie plays
Boogie
really in B.
Oh, in B, okay.
Yeah, because I feel like he's been playing pretty well as well for his team.
Okay.
And then...
Who we got in C then?
I don't know. I would probably put contracts and Santorin on B as well. It's just very
inconsistent. Yeah, right?
It's hard for me to rank all these four players because they have some really good games and then they have some fucking stinkers. And then for C tier, am I missing some players?
You have Closer, Kenvy, and yourself.
I'll put Closer and Kenvy. Wait, we're not ranking myself here, right? Surely.
Well, I just said the left on the list. Closer.
And so no, I will put Kenvy in D tier. I'll put Kenvy in D tier.
So Closer is in C and Kenvy is in D.
Yes.
Yeah, Kenvy is a little bit sad because I feel like there was so much expectation with him because he was so known for like all his carry picks in NACL and in amateur and stuff. And it's like, I don't know, it's sad for me to see that when he has come to LCS, he's almost exclusively just playing tanks and stuff. Yeah. And like, I don't know.
I mean, honestly, I feel for him because it's like what we talked about before, right?
Yeah.
You know, a promising talent on a bad team can honestly hamper your development by a lot.
Yeah.
You know, when I was on TSM, I feel like, honestly, I had like the best scenario I could get. Whereas I feel like Bjerg was super supportive. You know, I wanted to play carries. You know, he was like, oh yeah, you can play carries. I'll play support characters, right?
Yeah.
And I would just play whatever I want. And I feel like, you know, honestly, that helped me a lot. I feel like if I was on the worst team, I would not.
You wouldn't have had the opportunity.
I'm just a bad player. I'm like not in the league, you know, even.
Yeah, you wouldn't have a zillion rezzing you all the time. You're like, all right, get back up in there, buddy.
I mean, it feels bad for me to put in D because I feel like his situation is not great, but he's also just not playing well.
I mean, all of Immortals are really not playing well. They're struggling. I mean, they're on 9-game losing streak now.
Tactical's not playing that bad.
Tactical, I felt so bad for him today.
Tashville, yeah. I think, was playing really well in the first couple weeks. Yeah. I feel like lately, more up and down.
Yeah. He's always been, he wasn't always. His initial stint was really great, but then since then, he's been inconsistent. So, like, there's games where it feels like he's kind of 1v9ing. Today felt a little bit like that, where he was, like, 6-3 or something and could have maybe won. He didn't flash the Ori ball at the end. I was like, bummer, but whatever.
I mean, at least he was 6-1.
Yeah, right? Or 6-3, whatever he was.
Whatever he was, I didn't watch that game.
You didn't watch Immortals? First C9? That was a close game. That was a surprising close game.
This is your playoff competitors here, Spica. These are the guys you got to take down.
I watched the early game, and they were actually playing well. And then in classic IMT fashion, they find a way to lose just like us. I feel like this list is fair. I mean, what do you think?
I don't disagree with it too much.
Yeah.
I think I would probably be nicer to Romeo. You're a bully because you're...
Do you think he's the same skill as Pioshek.
I would say community perception wise, like I'm just trying to think of like what the community perception would be. I think people would have Pioshek lower, they would have Armeo higher. Mm-hmm. I think Boogie would probably be lower than you had set him to. I'm not saying like this is necessarily what I think, but I feel like community perception on Boogie is not good. It's not good on Pioshek.
I think that's a pretty fair what the community would say. I personally like Pioshek. I would bump Armeo up maybe over him.
To A tier?
Yeah, it's always true that like if you're playing with winning lanes, it's like I showed up and they were at a health deficit and I just clicked the buttons. And it's true that I think I saw it was...
Feels also just so hard to judge, man, because they're so bad in the mid game.
I feel like Pioshek contributes so much to the early game, though.
He is, from playing against
him in scrims, I feel like he finds a lot of the opportunities other jungler wouldn't look for. Maybe if you're just watching the game as a viewer, right?
Like you don't the Summit Fiora game?
Yeah, but I feel like he actually plays the early game super well. I mean, sometimes he, kind of runs it down in melee game, but I feel like a lot of times the games are already in the lost state anyway, where it's like he has to do something desperate.
Yeah, and to be fair, in spring I thought he was also really inconsistent, but this time it was more like Harry who was struggling and sometimes Summit and stuff. But
he's been way better.
Pioshek hasn't been him and Cora both I thought leveled up.
The two games with APA they looked really good.
Yeah, so I have to pick your brain a little bit about Closer because he's like a lightning rod in the community right now.
Yeah,
he I'll look up the stats in a second, but like. We were talking in the last episode that lost was about like he was at 0.6 KDA
and he had
or kills and assists
involved in zero first bloods.
I want to see where I am.
So Closer had been involved in zero first bloods the first nine games.
Zero first bloods. What
first
about
nine.
The next
I don't think he got one this week.
I'm going to check it right now.
And I don't
now.
Think he even had a kill and assist through
he
any of the games.
He still has been
either.
Involved in zero first bloods through 12
games. So far.
12
and I don't think he found a kill or an assist. This just means like, okay, not first blood, but like, did you participate in a kill for your team in the first 14? Which is like,
wait, first
I think,
14 minutes.
First 14.
It's zero.
This week, I think it was zero. Here, let me.
What about like in general? Because I feel like that is just shocking.
Yeah, well,
it is shocking.
And this is something that happens with him a fair amount. And like, I've gotten flame for pointing it out.
You about, said like, that, but like, I don't think it's ever been this extreme.
It's not been this extreme, but it has been below one before. And like, he's on, this means every other game he'll find a kill basically in the first 14 minutes, which is what I'm like.
31.8%. That is crazy. The next person is Kambi at 56.
That's for kill participation, but that's also terrible for 14, a jungler.
I mean,
it's like
really
the kills just
bad.
Happen around you and you're not doing anything. So like, I personally, for especially what I usually want out of a jungler, it's like, you're the engine for the early game, bro. Yeah. Like, do something, especially since I don't think 100 Thieves lanes are, like, insane-o, and you just, like, leave them on an island. And because the Blabber, can, like, I think he can probably take more time to farm if he wants. But, like, I think Closer has just not been very effective this split.
I mean, 100 Thieves is kind of sad to watch. I feel like they just are, like, praying Doublelift will carry them.
Yeah.
It's like they're drafting full late game, only 5v5 comps.
Yeah.
They never try anything early.
Yeah.
Mid and top are generally losing. Bot is kind of evenish, and you're like, sure hope Doublelift can carry us.
Yeah.
I mean, at least for me, I think early game is definitely most up to the junglers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
I feel the laners as well.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
So from a jungler perspective, I want to sympathize where it's like, setting up a gang needs two players.
Yeah.
It's not just a jungler. Oh, you walk in. It's like not like in solo queue. Oh, you walk into a lane. You get a kill, right? Your teammates need to communicate where they warded, right? The wave state and things like that. Obviously, as a jungler, you have eyes, you can see. So
the question I would raise, though, is like, I really liked when I watched junglers who have like a very distinct, like, this is my plan this game because we have been struggling this. Like, I think River on Jarvan in certain picks is like, I'm gonna do some cheese shit.
Yeah.
Or Santorin has these like interesting paths where like clearly.
People also talk about
there's an intention, right?
Like, some thinking.
Yeah, he's like, I know I'm gonna do something to jumpstart my team in this game. And I don't see that intention ever, despite the fact that they should clearly need the help based off the early games not being well. And I think like, having some more of these like set plays where you're like, no matter what happens, this is kind of my clear because we've picked these champions and like you have Ahri and what level two, I'm gonna go.
Blizzard would be in my D tier.
Yeah, I think I think I would actually put him D tier too. Is kind of what I was setting up for.
Yeah.
I mean, at least from my perspective, you know, a lot of times when you're prepping for a team, you know the jungler's tendencies, right? When you're playing against River, you know he wants to try to gank early, so you ward different, you play different, right? But I feel like a lot of times when you're playing against Closer, you know he's not going to try to affect the lanes as much. And I feel like it's definitely, you know, both, right? Because I've heard Sunday's also very quiet. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he could definitely, you know, look for more of that.
Yeah.
At least, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough, too, because the other thing is he has incredible highs, which I think is not to be lost in the conversation. It's like, I feel like he's super clutch in playoffs. He's made tons of game-winning plays. Mm-hmm. He has had insane early games where he runs all over them on his champions that he's really good at. So it just feels like...
His champions that he's really good at also don't seem very popular right now,
no,
right? It's like Lee Sin Viego.
Yeah. I mean, Viego's slightly meta, but Viego... Right now, it feels like more...
Even Speaker couldn't win on it, and you were popping off, so
I mean, Viego is more like, you know, you're playing for Temple early game, and you got to play with the team, right? Your team kind of have to set you up.
Yeah. People are doing a lot of, like, the Annie, Viego, Renekton topside stuff.
Trying to get a one-shot,
Herald, try to get reset.
But, I mean, it's also interesting, because you said that, I feel like Huhi also contributes a lot to that. Because he had a really great early game with Huhi. And now GGS actually has a really good early game.
Did you watch the C9 game? Because that was
against
one...
Against IMT? Or
against... Golden Guardians versus C9, where like C9 tried to ward out River early, because he was going to do.
And he swept it.
He swept it and then came back around again, and just like, God, this dude is just like, I'm ganking bot lane. Fuck you, Berserker. Yeah. You know, like I know you're the carry of this team.
He was sitting in that mid bush for like 40 seconds.
Yeah, that was actually crazy.
Yeah, I feel like that's overdoing it.
Yeah, I thought so
too. There's a degree where it's like, oh, I want to cheese, I want to affect my lanes, but sitting in that same bush for 40 seconds
He was three camps behind.
I feel like if you're playing against like. Maybe he wouldn't play that way against international teams, but if you're playing against great junglers,
you're already setting yourself.
So Blabber's not a great jungler. Got it.
No,
against great junglers.
I feel like Blabber made a mistake that game.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's a bad player, but I feel like he could have punished that.
Yeah,
I hear you. No, I mean, for sure. I don't think anyone's going to argue that he stayed in the bush too long.
Yeah.
He spent a lot of time, but he seemed like,
he won the game.
I mean, he won the game.
Clearly,
maybe he was playing the game, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
My bad.
Yeah,
I'm ninth place.
Maybe you should sit some more brushes.
He's
there.
Like, he's like second.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I didn't see the angle.
Your ninth place jungle brain could not understand.
Camping the brush in 40 seconds.
It's like that. You know when they have the bell curve of like iron.
Yeah.
And then it like it goes back around.
The
average jungler and the challenger.
Yeah, exactly. Like iron jungler waiting in brush for 40 seconds. Challenger jungler efficient pathing. Best jungler in the world waiting in brush for 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way he's still here, right? Yeah. And then you walk up and you die.
I mean,
that's what
I expected. No way the enemy expects it.
Yeah. Thank you for the tier list. Appreciate it. Let's move on to some LCS stuff in general. EG did lose today. Cloud9?
They lost to Golden Guardians earlier in the week. So both those teams took L's. They were tied coming into the week.
EG lost today as well, though.
That's what I'm saying. EG and C9 were tied for first, and then they're tied for first again at the end of the week.
Yeah.
Yep. And Golden Guardians is now, 8-4? I think the standings that I pasted in aren't actually updated because they
No,
lost.
they're they're 8-4, you're right. They could have tied for first if they won their game versus TSM.
They lost today. So these
they lost to TSM?
Yeah, last game they should have won.
Shouldn't the problem,
dude,
actually.
River would have won Player of the Week if they won that game because he was having a good poppy game again. And then his team just kind of, I don't know, they had Zac support for some reason.
I don't even think the Zac support was that big of a problem. There was a lot of things going on in that game.
Yeah. Huhi seemed hell-bent on picking Zac support this week, though. He was, like, talking about it.
Yeah, they were cooking. I mean, I respect that. You know, have some fun on stage.
Yeah.
But so the top three, I mean, looks pretty clear. It's Cloud9, EG, Golden Guardians. Then we have Liquid sitting alone in fourth. Dig is alone in fifth, 6 wins. And then we have TSM, Energy, 100 Thieves, all at 5. We have you guys at 3. And then Immortals are at 2.
Yeah.
Is there, like, so besides yourself, is there any, like, big surprises that really stand out to you?
Probably Dignitas. They've been a lot better this split compared to last. And they swapped out 2 players?
They got Rich, and then they swapped out... Well, I guess it depends. Tomo came in later in the split for Spawn. So if you count him, then that's 3. If you don't count him, it's 2, right? Because they swapped in Diamond and Rich.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that team is really surprising, for me at least. Because on paper, it seems like Diamond is a downgrade to Ignar. But maybe he just plays with them better. And, I mean, Rich is obviously... been playing super well.
Rich is doing really well. I also think Santorin and Jensen are
they've been
better.
Playing much better than last split.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, for me, at least NRG is just super weird. Like,
Yeah, how did they beat?
They've beaten all the best teams and lost to everyone else. Like, they've beaten Cloud9, Golden Guardians, 100 Thieves, Golden Guardians. Who else did they beat? Did they beat EG too?
They beat EG as well. They destroyed them today.
So they've beaten like all the top teams, and then they just lose to. They lost to you guys, right? They lost to Immortals. They lost to TSM twice, I think. They've lost to.
They lose to all those horrible teams, like they lost to you.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say. You know what? I'm not even going to say anything. I'm sorry.
I mean, we're at the bottom, so. Yeah.
Stats are not always indicative of performance.
Yeah.
You know,
Of course.
But you know, it is weird, right? Like, they were kind of joking about their consistency and stuff too. Yeah. But like, I don't know if that's like a playing to the level of your opponent thing or what the heck it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think. Honestly, NRG, right? They always have this period of they just don't know what they're good at.
Yeah.
I feel like they should just play, you know, these skirmish heavy style, play through top lane, you know, like Dokla play like the Bruisers, whatever he's good at, right? And just play to fight early game. And then sometimes you'll just go back to Ornn, Sejuani, Control Mage, which I feel like just doesn't fit their style. But I feel like even last split, they were trying that.
Yeah.
They lost a bunch of games and then they revert back, right? I feel like they should just, you know, just play what suits them.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like the biggest problem. Like obviously, they have consistency issues, but I guess that's kind of good and bad thing. It's like you could beat the best team, but also lose to the
your potential is high. Like yeah. at least that's
yeah,
the
but high ceiling.
Full.
I would say.
I will say that I think FBI, while he's had some really good early games, I feel like he has had some monster end moments in team fights and stuff. And I think that's one of the things that's causing them problems too. Is like let's be honest, the meta is still very bot lane focused, and if your AD makes a mistake and gets picked in a big fight, it's like. Yeah. There's almost no winning it.
Yeah, I mean, there was a game where he lost as a 15 kill Zeri.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the full game, but like I feel like that should never happen. Like my mom can play Zeri Yumi with 15 kills and she could probably bend the kill, right? Like I feel like in my mind, and they were up 15k gold.
10k.
10k gold. Yeah. Where it's like, how do you even draw when you have Zeri Yumi? That's the OP version of Zeri Yumi. I feel like that's just crazy.
Yeah. But the thing I will say about NRG is this feels like the third split in a row they've done this where like they're hanging around like the sixth place spot and then they finish top five and look decent kind of while doing it by beating good teams. And like, well, you have to be good to consistently beat good teams.
And then they play C9 playoffs, go 2-2, and they lose the fifth game.
It's like the third split in a row. Yeah. So
Dokla also, I don't think has been having as good of a split. I feel like in spring, he had a lot more standout games. I think that like mid jungle has been, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're inconsistent.
They're kind of inconsistent because Contracts has some pretty bad games and some really, really good games.
Yeah. In their wins though, I feel like it's really about Dokla. It's kind of like what I guess I'm getting at. Whereas I feel like in spring, he had a lot more like really good individual performances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just because the top lane pool has gotten harder. Because like when you think about the top laners, top lane is actually friggin' hard now, right? Like Revenge was pre-recording a top lane tier list. I won't spoil it, but it's like even just you're thinking through, it's like, okay, you have Summit, who's an incredible laner. You have Fudge, you have Someday, you have Impact, you have Rich now. Revenge is playing well, like Dokla, et cetera, right? Like there's, like you quickly, like if you're just saying, oh yeah, the guys that like kind of like the players you would expect are at the top, then like everyone else is like seventh and below because there's like a lot of
it's
good
hard.
Top
like
laners.
If you have a top lane all pro, it's like it's super hard to rank.
It is really
even
hard.
Even Impact, he's ninth place, but I feel like a lot of games he's playing really well for us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was gonna say for FBI too, he always posts really good stats. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking quickly before
he's had some really bad deaths.
And that's I think the thing that makes it feel super inconsistent for this team within an AD carry meta. There's been a couple games where I'm like, damn, his Aphelios is like 8 kills, and then he'll like get kill die. Sometimes feels like trying to follow up on the top side of the map because they're doing crazy stuff. And this game that they won today. Against EG. He got a pentakill.
Yeah,
13 minutes.
And then I was like, oh, FBI's got all the gold again.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I was scared about that, but he actually did a good job this time. So I think this team has potential to shoot up the standings a little bit.
Mm-hmm. We can talk about the top of the table a little. So like, who do you think is actually the best team in the league? Is it just Cloud9 is the best team
Gun
in the league?
Gun to your head, who wins the league right
now?
Yeah, like let's say playoffs happen right now.
I would say if I had to rank, C9, GG, and then Liquid.
C9, GG, Liquid. So EG isn't even top three.
They're top. I think they're four.
They're four.
I think
frauds.
They're four.
Frauds at 9-3.
I think they're frauds.
What do you think about Cloud9 right now? Because like you know earlier in the split, it's like they were winning all their games. Everyone's thinking, okay, like this team is just like so clearly number one. Mm-hmm. It's like Cloud9 tier, and then you're on a new tier before you even start talking about someone else.
Yeah.
They have dropped a couple of games now. They've tried like a few different styles
some
and comps.
Weird stuff,
You know, they got blasted in the TL game. Mm-hmm. Like so they've picked up a few losses now. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they are, like, still clearly the number one? Because I know you said they're number one, but is it actually close amongst those other teams? Or should they still be considered the best team?
I would say in a BO5, right? Yeah. They would be number one.
Yeah.
But, like, by a significant margin, you'd be like, you know, or is it close?
Like, if it's a BO5 against C9 and GGS, like, I would say it would go, like, 3-1 and maybe 3-2. Yeah. You know, if GGS is playing super well.
So you're still giving them heavy odds to win.
Is 3-1 heavy odds?
I think that's pretty. Right? I mean, it's if you're saying they win 3 out of every 4 games, if that's the average, that's 75%
yeah.
of the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think GGS has also been playing super well, so I feel like it could definitely be close.
Yeah. I mean, I was casting the C9 versus GG game, and if I remember being like, this feels like a playoff game. Like, people are doing really smart things, like that warding in the early game, and like River was very intelligent about where he was attacking on the map, and it felt like everyone was being respectful of all this stuff. And I think it speaks to the fact that, like, yeah, Golden Guardians can beat Cloud9, but, like, do I think every game's going to go that way? No. And, like,
also, they've just beaten them so many times in a row now between regular season, playoffs, MSI.
It just feels like, you know, that was really cool that Golden Guardians beat them, but I think it's going to come down to best of five before people will, unless they, you know, Cloud9 drops a bunch of games and, you know, C9 or Golden Guardians smurfs. But I think the C9 losses, too, are not super scary. Like, they got absolutely steamrolled bot lane, and then they did the exact same thing the next day. It just shows that, like, hey, if you int level one, like, yeah, you can lose the whole game.
It's BO1. Like, sometimes it just happens. You're just unlucky.
Yeah. And then they lose a really hard game against Golden Guardians. Yep. Like, you know, they played well. No shade there. I forget what their first loss was.
First loss, I think maybe...
It was to Energy.
To Energy, probably.
they're mortal
energy.
Enemies. Yeah.
I think it actually is. It was Blobber was playing Vi. So that's probably a free lose.
It was Blobber Vi. It was they were playing Aphelios Yuumi bot lane.
Yeah, and the second.
Oh, this was Yuumi post nerf when they played back.
They played Zeri Yuumi, and they're like, that worked. Let's try Aphelios Yuumi. Like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That one didn't go so hot.
No, so I'm with you on C9 being the best.
I think the knocks against Cloud9, I don't know if you agree with this, but this is the knocks I hear from most people, is still some people will knock Sven for they're not as confident on him on engage supports.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, I don't think Fudge is playing as well this split. Fudge is, I feel like, playing worse than he normally does, because I've felt like for a while he'd been looking like actually just the best top laner in the league. Maybe some was better in lane, but Fudge was better in team fights. And Fudge has definitely not been, I think, having nearly as many standout performances. Are you laughing because the C9
the couch interview? Testing? Did you watch that?
I just remember the Renekton stuff.
Yeah, basically they're just screaming, and Fudge is saying, shut the F up, to his whole team about, like, because they're like, you need to come bot. And he's like, no, I'm playing Renekton, come top. Then I think they
came top today.
Today they came top,
and they won the game. Yeah. So it's not his fault.
Yeah.
It's actually Team Gap.
I feel like they've just, like, Berserker won the MVP, and now you got to coddle him. He's got this ego, and, you know, Fudge isn't getting the resources.
Sometimes it's hard to know, though. Like, is it just, like, these random one-off mistakes? Like, he had the game against Rich where he auto-attacked a minion, then got solo-killed, then got solo-killed again. Like, he had some Kennen games where he's getting picked on a lot and dying inside lanes and stuff. Like, he is getting punished more. It's always hard to know, though, right? Because it is, like, it's only over a couple weeks. He's had more bad games. Not like I think he's bad or anything.
And they're not even like int games. It's not like, oh shit, I was like 50 CS down, died three times.
If you're on a worse team and you make those little mistakes, then it is an int game.
Yeah, it's like his team is 10-0 and he's like 2-1, so he's inting. You know, like he should be 10-0 as well. It's kind of like that. But I mean, I would say he's not playing as well, but you know.
Still really good.
Sometimes when your team's 10-0, you get a little bored.
Yeah.
you want to do something, you know? You want to feel like you contribute to the win.
Blabber decides Gromp is more important than a Renekton for some reason that game. Yeah.
I feel like that stuff's hard, though, right? Because they've talked about, Cloud9's talked a lot in interviews about focus on international and trying to, like, improve as much as they can and, you know, be able to compete on that level and stuff. And it's like, well, at a certain point, you almost, like, can't have those, like, for fun games because you're trying to, like... Yeah. You're almost like racing against yourself in a way where it's like, even if it's a team that you can beat, you're trying to focus on what can we do better, right?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I feel like that mindset is really dangerous.
Yeah.
Of trying to focus on internationals.
Yeah.
Because in spring split, I was like, okay, we're 9-0 now. Let's focus on MSI. And then we didn't make it, right? That's just a one-off example, but it's like, you know, I feel like you just got to play as best as you can every game, even against like worse teams, right? Because if they're worse teams, just beat them in like 15, 20 minutes, like, you know. Mad Lions T1, I think, 16 minutes, and just go home, right? And then just play as well as you can against teams that you perceive as, like, just not good.
My favorite thing about that I think we lost this in the previous episode, so I have to say it again here, is that now anytime anyone gets stomped in the post-game thread, you'll
see that.
Yeah, they're like, wow, that game was such a stomp. How the hell did Mad Lions lose in 16 minutes? This game was still 21 minutes.
Just got pounded. It took 22
crazy.
Minutes.
I don't even know how.
Yeah, it's actually a good point. You're like, how did they lose 16
it's
minutes?
It's hard to lose in 60 minutes.
Yeah, that's crazy. What was I going to say? Oh, about looking too far ahead. Mm-hmm. I also feel like the experimentation thing.
Yeah.
I remember watching, it was actually even TSM, like they started experimenting with Galio Jarvan comps and they like mastered them and then they never played them when it mattered. I think,
Well,
the idea of like, should you try hard 24/7 and just like learn how to learn to get good, or should you branch out and try and have a bunch of like things in your tool belt for when playoffs hit, you don't know what the meta is. And it's like, well, good thing we practice winning top.
Yeah.
Like, what is your like approach, you think, when you are doing well, to like keep doing well? Should you branch out or should you try and stay more narrow and just follow the patch?
I mean, I would say in terms of draft, I feel like straying too far away to just play like weird champs, I feel like a lot of times it's not too useful.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Just because like the meta changes so fast, right?
Yeah.
Like the static shift stuff where I think MNS was playing the electric. Like, sure, it's good, right? Like, it could be good. I'm not saying it's bad. But like, do you think it's actually going to be like,
best of five, time to bust out my Zeri.
Play that, right? I mean, it's fine to have, you know, to experiment BO once, but I feel like sometimes you still need to have a consistent, like, logic of what you're trying to practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is this going to be around in a couple patches?
Yeah.
Makes sense. It's interesting. I want to talk about EG a little bit then, because, you know, you put EG, like, outside of your top three, right? Most people, I think, are on, in the community and on the outside are more negative on Liquid than pros are, because people say Liquid's really good in scrims, right?
So they play like they're in scrims on stage, or like, I guess how
you guys will be the top two.
Like, we will be top two.
Yeah.
And we're not two. but they're honestly really, really good in scrims. They play way more aggressive than scrims, just like us.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine a more aggressive TL, because their early games on stage do translate from scrims, it seems like. They are super aggressive. I'm watching this game. I don't know if you saw it, where Summit's like flashing over the wall, getting it killed, taking a hex.
Taking the portal, that was cool. Every time we scrim TL, right, I just remember one time we're fighting over Rift Herald for like 5 minutes. You know, we had a 3v3 top side. We spawn, we run back. Oh, support's here now. We fight. Oh, we died again. We go back. And then, you know, it's just really crazy. Maybe it's not good practice, right? I think recently they've been playing really well on stage as well. And, you know, they're still playing aggressive early game, although not as much, right? Mm-hmm. But they're still making it work. They probably have, like, the highest go gap early game, I want to say. Like,
definitely
just top of my head, I feel like biggest gap.
Let's see. So Cloud9's goal difference of 15 is 1778. That's the other team that would probably be the top.
Yeah.
I'll check Liquid.
Goal difference, biggest one is TL at 2000.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Yeah, and that's not that surprising. It's also interesting because it's like APA came in and they just had two really good back-to-back games. Maybe he's randomly magically the solution for this team. I mean, to me, like, the reason that I wouldn't have put them in my top three is just because I feel like they've had the exact same problems the entire year.
Yeah.
And have never shown that they could actually fix their mid game and like these all these random losses they have, even though they pound teams in the early game. And so to me, it's like, that's a hard problem to fix, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, it seems like having Core on the team, you would not have mid game issues. Especially the game against NRG, where I think Summit was like super ahead and they just randomly started taking 5v5s and just dying.
I didn't get that. Like, he built Hallbreaker Fiora,
coached
a hard camp top, got him giga ahead.
Yeah.
He's literally just taking the base in the face of Cassante and then they're like,
it's like,
force a 5v5.
Fiora just, you know, took the whole boss side tower, inhibitor, and everything, right? And then let's just group for Nash. And then they died, they lost a 5v5.
Yep, they took
they
a
5v5 lost Nash, and it's like, oh, now our wincon's gone. Now they have Nash, they just push mid and we have to group now. Right?
Yeah.
So that just feels like really,
that was
really
crazy.
Weird.
I'm not going to lie. That game was crazy that they lost that game.
Yeah. And Harry was like missing a lot of stuff on the Akali and whatnot. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully they're better with APA. I am a closet TL fan this whole season. I put them relatively high compared to some people in spring. And then, but like, I do believe in the potential of this team that you're kind of talking about, where like projecting forward, like attending a Worlds or something like that, like, yeah, I don't think they would get blown out necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows about APA against like Faker or whatever happens, but.
Well, Faker's not playing now, so.
Oh, that's true. His arm exploded.
Yeah.
Unlucky.
There's other good mid laners out there, though.
I seriously do hope that he recovers in time for Worlds. I haven't followed that super closely.
Yeah, wrist issues are rough.
They suck.
Yeah. But I do think, like, Team Liquid, if they can shore up the weaknesses that they had, and they have looked better since APA came in, that, like, I would be very excited about this team.
I mean, I'm really excited for APA's debut. You know, obviously, it's cool for him to come in and have, like, two really good games back-to-back. He has the Ziggs game, which is kind of unique.
Yeah.
The Triss game, his lane wasn't very good, but then he, you know, got a lot of kills. I wouldn't say that, like, he was the cause of those kills. He was just kind of picking
up. He did his job. He right-clicked.
You undersold him. I rewatched that game because I missed it because I was filming something during that time. I went back. He was pretty good. You were like, oh, he did his job. He just, like, followed up and got kills. He was like, the thing that sold me was there's a time where Pioshik threw a hook and he jumped in at the same time. And, like, clearly they're not speaking the same language. That's just, like, seeing the game the same way. And, like, I was like, okay. He's not just, like, following up after
the hook.
I didn't
say he did anything bad. I think he played a solid 80 carry game. But he was not a playmaker in that game. Mm-hmm. That was one of those ones where it's like 80 carry on a winning team. If you're right clicking, you're getting a lot of kills.
Those back-to-back dragon fights, he was doing better than a lot of Tristana mids do.
Yeah, he had a good weekend. Like I said, good weekend.
I didn't watch that game, but I just watched early games.
Yeah. I mean, he had a good weekend, but I'm not really ready to, like, pass judgment on him yet because it is just two games. But Liquid, my questions are still just going to be, can they actually fix their mid-game problems? What is it about EG that you think that pushes them out of your top three then? Like, what do you think is wrong with EG? Obviously, they lost today.
Yeah.
They played a bit of a more experimental draft, I felt like, for them, where it felt like they were playing, like, NRG was playing the draft that I would expect from EG, where EG normally plays, like, 3-4 threats, and they try to play more, like, early agency stuff for JoJo. They're playing Azir. They're playing, was it Jinx bot lane? I can't remember. No, it was Zaya. It was Azir, Zaya, but then, like, three frontliners, right?
I mean, for me, at least, they don't have bad players, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like JoJo is overperforming. JoJo is playing super, super well right now. So I feel like a lot of times in playoffs, it becomes easy to just focus a player, right?
Just ban him out.
Give him less priority. You play a stronger mid jungle. I feel like he facilitates a lot of the plays, and I feel like if he's not ahead, I feel like, you know,
the rest of the team can pick up slack.
The rest of the team is just going to play a lot worse.
Okay.
I had a similar concern in, like, week two after they were, you know, tied for first or whatever. I think I've come around on it, though. Because my question was exactly that. It's like, okay, what happens if JoJo's not the best player every single game? And the first time they lost to C9, I was like, oh, even that, like, he was playing fine. The Eminem just, like, went bottom because bot lane exploded.
Yeah. I talked to him after the game. He was like, if he's Faker, he will carry.
That's what he said?
That's what he said.
Damn. JoJo's like, I could have done more.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's a good mentality, right?
Yeah. That is a really good mentality. I think what's brought me more around on the team is, like, Unforgiven has basically been the best version I could have hoped for.
He's playing really well, actually.
Yep.
Yeah, I think him and Berserker are 1-2 in the league right now for AD carries. I think their bot lane is not super dominant.
Not at all, really.
But Revenge has been very good in the top side, too, better than I thought it would be. Because I thought for a similar thing, it's like, oh, well, JoJo's getting all these resources mid. You just leave him weak side. He was playing a lot of Sion the first couple of weeks or whatever. But I think he's also stepped up with more unique picks. So I'm pretty confident that this is just, like, kind of a triple threat team right now. And Armeo just runs around wherever is going to make the biggest play.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying, like, you know, they have bad players, they're going to get exposed. But I just feel like compared to, like, other teams, especially compared to, like, Cloud9 and GGS, I feel like they're just, you know, fundamentally better.
Yeah. I mean, I think Cloud9 and GGS would be the teams that people would most bet on. Yeah. I think some people would just be surprised by Liquid.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Liquid over EG right now is a little sus.
Controversial.
It's spicy.
I mean, if I would have to say, I feel like Liquid just has a much higher peak. Or ceiling, I would say, right? I feel like on their best day, Liquid versus EG, as long as mid doesn't get shit on, I feel like Liquid will win.
Yeah. What about some dark horses? So those are the favorites. Team Liquid's a bit of a dark horse, but what about, like, a Dig, TSM, NRG, 100 Thieves, FlyQuest?
Not a dark horse. You're clearly...
Look at the power rankings. Yeah. Second place team.
You're the second best team in the league. You guys are on the up and up.
Are there any teams that you think...
I mean, if we flip this around, we are the second best team in the league, actually.
Immortals is so good.
Immortals number one. It's We're number two.
But, you know, like, there's potentially four seeds this time. We talked about the top four. Is there anyone who you think could, like... break into the top four. Go play Europe for the fourth seed, potentially.
I can't imagine Dignitas or TSM... doing it. I could see if NRG got their stuff together.
Yeah, I could see NRG.
NRG is the only team
actually,
to me that's
I'm not sure because they play bottom teams too, so they would just go 50-50, right?
It's just like when I'm trying to think about, like, potential, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who, because it is dark horse because they're not, none of the teams below them are that consistent. They all have clear problems. I think if you're lower in the standings, but it's like 100 Thieves feels so one-dimensional. I don't think that's really going to change. I haven't been super impressed by Quid. It doesn't feel like they have a true second carry. TSM, I don't know, maybe with Insanity. They're doing pretty good, damn good with Insanity, so maybe I'm overlooking
six
them.
6-3 with Insanity.
It's true.
Yeah.
66% win rate.
That's not bad.
Maybe TSM, actually. Yeah. Now that I say it, maybe TSM.
I mean, for me, I just feel like they can't break into top four.
Yeah.
I just cannot see it. I feel like all the top four teams, they just have better players.
You just think they don't have enough, like,
I feel like they could definitely make. I feel like they could definitely make five, but it's just really hard for me to see them breaking into top four.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because number four is actually super important this year, right? Because number four gives you a shot at going to Worlds. Mm-hmm. So it's like there is that extra slot. Obviously, you have to win a BO5 against Europe. Mm-hmm. Like, that is going to be really
exciting. That's pretty
exciting.
Easy.
It's Mad Lions, right?
Yeah, Mad Lions will be there.
If it's Mad Lions, it's just like, why even play, man? It's a 3-0 and you're out.
Yeah.
I will throw a little bit of weight behind Dig, man. Like, I think if they really got their shit together with Rich being pretty good, Santorin and Jensen should be good.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. I believe in Tomo.
I don't.
I think he is...
I think Tomo's playing well.
I think Tomo's playing well, if you're talking about, like, the game has just been in bot lane for, like, 2 years. What... bot lane, would you want them over, right? And to me, it's like when the game slows down, which it usually does in playoffs, is people play more safe.
Yeah.
It becomes more about how your bot lane is performing in 5v5s and stuff. I feel like they're bottom couple bot lanes, if not worst bot lane in the league.
Yeah but I don't think it would, like, if they do make a push, it's not going to come down because, like, Tomo just suddenly became Berserker. I think it's going to be because, like, their mid jungle's playing well and Rich has, like, this party pick of whatever it is this week where he cheeses you and, like, in a full best of five.
If you can make it not about bot lane and just play Ashe and stuff, you mean?
Yeah, but especially in playoffs, right? Games are slower. So
that's
it's going to be a lot of times about, you know, your 80 carry or bot lane.
If it goes 30 minutes, it's just about how your bot lane plays.
That's because you guys don't believe enough in Rich, I guess, is the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, top lane is actually pretty strong right now, but still kind of weak compared to bot lane. So I don't know if he can, you know, make the gap.
Tell Impact to play Alawi.
If the meta changes, then this could be out the window. But, like, I don't believe in their bot enough in current meta to be able to get there. But if it was, like, more of, like, a split push meta or something crazy where it's like, hey, then things change, right?
Yeah, but it's like, even if the meta changes, right, it's still a team game.
Yeah.
Bot lane is two people, right?
Yeah.
Even if it's a top lane meta, your bot lane still needs to play well. You know, it's like, playing weak side is actually a very hard skill to have, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people underrate that. It's like, you have to play well to not bleed and not give the enemy, you know, a win con,
I mean,
or your other side to carry.
I agree. You guys have weak side King. You got Impact, right? Like, that's historically been one of the best things about him. Like, I play a lot of top lane. I think it is super
hard.
It's super hard to not die. Like,
yeah, it's hard. I play weak side jungle too.
Yeah.
It's hard.
That's like we were making jokes about.
No, I'm getting counter jungled. I'm on my weak side.
We're talking about, like, weak side of the map, right? It's like not top bot. It's like blue red, right?
Yeah. You
know? they're playing weak side.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's about it, man. We won't hold you any longer. Appreciate you coming on, giving your opinions.
Of course.
Hopefully we'll have you back after you're on, like, a fatty win streak.
Yeah.
And
you
can
just be styling on everyone.
The four worlds will get them on.
Yeah. I mean, last time someone was on the dive, they start winning. Was it River?
Someone from 6A and Licorice were on. They went to finals. Zven came on, went to finals. So both people that came on.
Yon and Core.
Oh, that's true.
But they weren't here.
Well.
They weren't here in the.
No, I mean, still the dive.
Yeah.
Right.
Still the dive,
it took a split, but it kicked in eventually.
It was a delayed dive pop for them. Yeah. But good things definitely going to happen for you. We'd love to have you back. Thank you so much for coming on. We were one of the pros who actually said that they wanted to come on and reach out about it. So I know we were trying to have you on in spring.
Last play,
didn't work out.
You would have won.
Yeah. You would have won. Yeah. Sure, I did actually tell your GM that. I was talking to him.
Yeah, and they told me.
You guys screwed yourself.
That's why you guys
didn't go to MSI.
Well, but. But now,
Worlds and Spring Slip doesn't matter. Let's be honest.
Yeah, but it's fine. We can win 9-0 or 6-0.
There's only six games left, so 9-0 might be tough.
9-9 incoming.
Yeah, you can definitely do it.
I believe.
I mean, as long as you get into playoffs and you're in good form, the hope is alive.
As long as we win every game,
the hope is alive.
Nexus.
You can do it. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Dive. Thank you so much, Mika, for coming on. We really appreciate it. And that'll wrap it up for us for now. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of the Dive. Keep tweeting us the questions. Use the hashtag DiveLOL. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor.fm. And LCS Summer Split continues Wednesday, July 12th. It's FlyQuest facing NRG in Game 3. We'll see you there.
We should be winning.
Yeah.
Free win.
That's a free win.
That's a free win.
Free win.
Yeah.